Well, when I was 11 years old, I started smoking marijuana.
Wow.
At 11 years old, and then it progressed on, and it led from that to sniffing a little cocaine, and then it led from that to drinking alcohol, and alcohol really is what did it in.
Smoking marijuana at age 11, dropping out of school, hard drugs, alcoholism. This young man's life was ruined, but Christ has delivered him. He's a new creation. Brian Evans will begin to tell us his story as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Mary John Wilkin and the Crystal Sea Choristers, a gripping interview with a drug addict recently converted, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. The Crystal Sea Choristers celebrate the transforming power of Christ as they sing, I've Been Changed.
Well, I've been to the river, I've been baptized, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that once I was, and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed.
Sins were as scarlet, they're white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see.
I've been changed, I've been changed, I've been newborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Oh yes, I've been changed.
Like the poor Hebrew children, I wandered long in a bare desert land to and fro. But I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's land, where the milk and honey flow. When at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe all the tears from my eyes. And I'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me lasting hope.
Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled Always Available. It is written by George M. Grawl of New Jersey. George writes, God will give us strength to bear what we have no control over. The scripture reference is Genesis 35, verse 3. Jacob said, let us arise and go up to Bethel, that I may make there an altar to the God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. Some years ago, my sister's only daughter died. Among the numerous messages of sympathy and consolation was one which made an impact on her in her distress. It carried the hope that God would give her the strength to bear what she had no control over. My sister asked for the strength immediately and received it. Day after day, as the stress passed, this strength was renewed upon request, wherever she happened to be. It proved especially helpful a few years ago when her husband also died. Now living practically alone, she devotes much of her time to the outreach committees of her church and her community. To all of us come incidents over which we have no control. But just as Jacob and my sister turned to God for strength in times of distress and were refreshed daily, so all of us with our hearts turned to God can obtain the strength we need in order to bear whatever pain and suffering come into our lives. May we pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for your love, whose embracing strength lifts us out of periods of discouragement, frustration, and depression. Thank you for leading us through life. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time. Our guest today is from L.A., Lower Alabama. His name is Bryant Evans.
Bryant, you have come out of a life of drugs and alcohol, and you've been changed by the power of Jesus Christ, and we're excited about that, and I know you're excited. How did you ever get into such a miserable life? What kind of home did you grow up in? Did you have godly parents, or did you not get guidance?
Well, I wasn't raised up in a Christian home or religious home. Matter of fact, I was raised up in a broken home.
A broken home. Your dad and mother parted.
Yes, it did.
Yes, that's sad. And I know it breaks your heart and tears come to your eyes and you almost break down talking about it. So I know that affected you. It touched you deeply and hurt you deeply. Divorce does hurt children, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, it does.
Were you in your teens when you got into drugs and alcohol and that kind of thing?
Well, when I was 11 years old, I started smoking marijuana.
Wow.
At 11 years old, and then it progressed on, and I dropped out of school in the ninth grade, and where I could get me a job, where I could date, where I could get me a car, where I could date.
Yeah.
And it led from that to sniffing a little cocaine, and then it led from that to drinking alcohol, and alcohol really is what did it in.
Yeah, alcohol sort of climaxed the whole ruinous path. Huh?
Yes, sir. I just had a bond to alcohol. You know, I was just worshiping alcohol, I guess is how you could put it. I ain't too good at words, but that's the way I would put it.
They use the term alcohol dependent or drug dependent, and so you were depending on that for your happiness.
Yes, sir, that was it. I was trying to cover up everything with alcohol.
Yes, so you had a lot of pain, as you've expressed already, and misery in your heart and life, and these drugs sort of eased that pain, at least when you were under the influence of the drugs. You didn't feel quite so hurt.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Well, that had a grip on you, and did you ever try to escape? Of course, I guess if they made you happy, the drugs, you didn't really want to get rid of them.
Yes, sir. I become daddy at 17 and all, and I've tried to quit from my family. I've tried to quit, you know, from my mother and my daddy, and I've tried to quit I've tried to quit many times, but I just couldn't seem to quit.
Well, then the reason you tried to quit was because you realized that in spite of the temporary happiness they brought, they were also bringing some misery to your life, and so you wanted to quit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wasn't raising my kids right and wasn't giving them what I needed to give them as a daddy.
So how old were you when you got married?
I was 16.
16. And how many children do you have now?
Got 3 kids and 2 grandkids.
Now, I hope your kids are going all right. Have you managed to keep them away from the lifestyle you once lived?
Well, my oldest daughter, she just come to Christ this year.
Marvelous.
She's 24.
24. Did I hear last evening that you led her to Christ?
Yes, sir, I did.
Oh, that is wonderful. So, you yourself then found the Lord, and is that how you got rid of the power of drugs and alcohol in your life?
Yes, sir, it is. I was looking at a fourth DUI, and they put me in treatment. And in treatment, when I started to work the steps of AA program, when it come to the will to turn your will and your lives over to God as you understood Him, mm-hmm. and my mind was so messed up then from the drugs and alcohol. You know, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but I remember reading the sinner's prayer.
Yes.
And I remember crying out to God that night in the bed.
Yes.
And the good Lord come into my heart.
He came into your heart.
Yes, sir, He did.
Yes.
Lord, it felt like I've never felt before in my life.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Good thoughts was going through my mind. I could see my grandkids sitting in the church.
Yes.
And right now, today, they do sit in the church.
Yes.
But then they didn't, Lord.
Uh-huh. But you had the vision of their...
I had the vision.
...coming to Christ and being in the church.
Yes.
Well, listen, our time has gotten away from us. But, Brian, I'm going to ask you back, and next week, let's finish this discussion. And you've got a beautiful testimony of deliverance, and we want you to share it fully. I've been talking with Bryant Evans. God bless you, Brian, and I look forward to talking with you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Country music writer Mary John Wilkin came to Christ in her later years, and she has written some interesting songs about the Christian experience. Here's one of them. She sings, God is love.
When I was a little child and I went to Sunday school, the teacher taught us God is love and all about the golden rule. She never said a word about Satan, 'cause we were much too young to sin. She said we were all God's children, no matter what shape we're in. We sang Jesus loves me, and we learned to quote 1 John. And when we'd hear the church bell ring, we'd file out one by one. She gave us a picture of Jesus with the children gathered round His knee. And every Sunday morning I was safe as a child could be. I was singing, God is love, God is love. The preacher in there was preaching so loud he scared me half to death. He said if I didn't stop sinning on a wine press I'd be tried. He said there were demons in my soul and he told about the wrath of God. I looked at the picture of Jesus I was holding in my hand. I wondered who was right or wrong, the teacher or the preacher man. He preached about repentance and the evil deeds I'd done. And that was when I learned about sin, 'cause He named them one by one. He forgot to say, God is love, God is love. Now that was many years ago, but it's still going on. The preacher remembers Jeremiah and forgets to quote 1 John. So brother, let me warn you, always let His love light shine. If you're gonna shout about the devil, give Jesus equal time. And remember that God is love, God is love.
That was Mary John Wilkin, God is Love. Today's message is entitled, Do Not Hinder Them. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
The gospel lesson is Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that He might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, He was indignant, and He said to the disciples, Let the little children come to Me. Do not stop them. Do not hinder them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And He took them up in His arms, and He laid His hands on them, and He blessed them. Amen. Now it was just after 7 a.m. The fresh morning sunlight had already begun to flow through the plantation shutters there in our den, and I walked into the room near the fireplace to see what the new day was going to be like. As I stood there, I followed the trail of light coming through the window toward the fireplace. The beam fell short of its mark because of a picture on the bookshelf alongside the mantel. Now, I know that picture had been there for several years, and I thought, I'm sure I've seen that before. But for some reason, on this day, I just happened to be there when the sunlight rested for just a moment on that picture. I just kept staring at the three persons in the frame, two little boys and an elderly man. The man was seated on the top step of a sidewalk that was leading up to the front porch of the house. The little boys, one about 2 1/2 and the other about 6, were perched on his knees, and the youngest one looked like he was ready to get down and get on with whatever he was going to do before he had to dress up in that white Sunday outfit and put on white shoes and have his picture taken. Well, the youngest boy in the picture was me. The other was my brother Fred. And the man on the steps was my grandfather. That was my dad's dad. Now, for reasons that I cannot explain, I began to think about what had happened to that little boy since that picture had been taken. It was so strange because I was thinking of the boy in the picture as someone other than myself. It was like I knew all of the events, but I was wondering what effect they had had on him. I thought about the times we went to church. As a child, I attended the Catholic Church. Now, my grandfather was a staunch Lutheran. While I was looking at that picture, it suddenly dawned on me that I could never remember my grandfather going to church with my mom and dad. Now, I do remember that there was some conflict between my mom and my grandfather over church. But to this day, I do not know why I was baptized in the Lutheran Church and not in the Catholic Church. I do know that my mom came from a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic family, and everyone on her side of the family was and still is Catholic. Another puzzle is that I have seen the certificate that was given to my dad for outstanding leadership as a Sunday school teacher in the Presbyterian Church in St. Bernard, Ohio. Well, another thing I don't understand is why my earliest recollections of actually going to Sunday school was at the Madera Presbyterian Church. You know, I don't recall my parents ever going to that church. I know it's a little confusing, but, well, we went to the church at St. Gertrude's Catholic Church there in Madera. But I could remember some fun times in our family when I was just a couple of years older than I was in that picture. But not long after I entered elementary school, a dark cloud came across the landscape of our lives. And I guess it must have been I was 12, I guess, when I learned the word alcoholic. It was a progressive cloud that darkened and finally became a storm when I was a teenager. My thoughts still linger in the abyss of searching for that little boy in the picture. If I could have been there with him, I could have told him that there were some things that he would need to know that would have guided him through those storms. Now, I want you to stay with me just a minute. I want you to think about this scripture lesson for today. See, in this lesson, this gospel that is called Mark, you and I do not actually know to whom it was written or why, for that matter. Now, by that I mean it does not tell us why the writer chose these subjects out of all the possible ones that could have been written. And I hope you believe in the scriptures. Because, you see, if you don't trust them, you can't really look for the truth. Well, I suppose you could rummage around and find a saying or two that would be, you know, a great quote at the dinner table at a Rotary luncheon or some after-dinner speech. But if you will trust the scriptures as being authentic, you and I can swim out into the deep waters where the currents are swift and steady and not be afraid that someone is going to drain the lake. Remember, we are searching for two things. One, what did it mean to the persons to whom it was written? And secondly, what does it mean for you and me today? Now, if you know anything about the Gospel of Mark, you know Mark writes at a panic pace. All of a sudden, you see, it goes from arguing with religious leaders and healing the blind. Here comes a scene in which you and I discover that the disciples do not really understand what Jesus is saying. So Jesus, on one occasion, picked up a little child and he said, "Listen, whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me." Where did the subject of children come from? Only a few verses later, moms and dads were bringing their children to Jesus just to have him touch them so that they could give them some kind of a special blessing. Now, the disciples quickly tell the parents to get the children out of the way with something like, "Well, now listen here, we're talking about some big stuff. We're talking about divorce and the law of Moses and damnation, and I mean big things, and we don't have time to fool with all these children." But quickly, Jesus was upset. He said, "Stop, don't do that. Do not hinder." That's an older version, but it said, "Do not hinder the children, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God really belongs." Now, it's possible, I think, for you and me to conjure up all kinds of images of what a child is like and say that we have to become as little children. I think Dr. Fred Craddock says it so clearly. He points out that if Jesus meant for you and me to become little children, how in the world would we do that? What would happen to the adult person that we've become? That's so important. What would happen to the adult person that we've become? There's something much deeper here. You know, I didn't see it until I thought of the little boy in that picture. My mind just went back so carefully. It has something to do with hindering the little children. I think Jesus picked up one of those children and looked into her eyes for just an instant and thought about the images that were being formed in that child's mind about God. What the child was learning that he or she would carry into adulthood that would form the structure of their relationship in Christ. You see, the disciples were not just hindering the children from coming to be touched by Jesus. Oh, no, they were hindering the child's understanding of God. Now, listen to me for just a second. I think for most of us, there is a little child within us who has been hindered in knowing the full measure of God's grace. Maybe it was my grandfather's rigid stance and the difference between Catholicism and Lutheranism. And I think it muted the power of God's grace in my dad's life. It seems like when Dad needed to know about grace the most, the peace like a river, well, that peace came from numbing his senses through alcohol. I also know a little girl, now in her late 50s, who was so adorable. She was a beautiful child. When families gathered, everyone oohed and awed over Mary Beth. More than 100 people came to her first communion in her church. I remember she was dressed in white and given a Bible, and there was a rosary and a cross to wear around her neck. Even the priest came to offer a prayer over the party, and it was such a blessing. I saw her about 5 years ago. She was still wearing that little cross around her neck. Mary Beth graduated from high school with honors, and I think she was voted the most beautiful and most popular girl in her class. I knew she would have gotten my vote. Well, I don't know when or how it happened. I do know that her parents fought a lot. There were often abrasive words, caustic words seasoned with acid that bear deep scars in her life. Her dad cursed the church that he once attended. Weekend parties at her home were often coarse and usually ended up in arguments and angry words. On her 49th birthday, Mary Beth had been married 5 times. She had several children. I attended her mother's funeral, and she told me that one of her sons then was in jail for car theft. But he'll beat it, she said. You know, I hadn't seen Mary Beth for nearly 20 years, and I must tell you, I had a hard time recognizing that she was the same person that I had known as a child and a teenager, even as a young adult. But she had been in and out of state drug abuse centers so many times, only to go back to the former habits. And her face declared such pain. Her eyes were deep in her head, and I know she saw the jolting look on my face. "I've had a hard life, Reverend John," she said. Family members told me that she had been put into jail once for abusing her mother and stealing from her. You know, I have tried to picture in my mind the little child in her first communion dress. She was so adorable, and I wondered, what has hindered her? I wondered in my mind what is happening to the little children when Mark noticed that Jesus was taking such great pain and care for them, even to talk to these children about the kingdom of God in the same breath. Now, the child and you and me may have been hindered from being able to fully accept God's grace. I know this is a lot to catch in a few minutes, but I want to invite you to take some time to think about it and not only pray, but seek guidance from your pastor or a counselor. For you see, to the child in you, to that child belongs the kingdom of God. Do not hinder him or her. Now, that's the gospel, friends. Amen.
The Savior is waiting. Enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in?
John Wolfe, I know you've got another word for us. Share it with us now.
Well, thank you very much. When I think about this little child, it just absolutely breaks my heart, Whit, when I think about that girl. But you know, there's a lot of us who have things happen to us along the way that have really hindered, that have blocked us from fully accepting God's grace. And there are things that happen every day, sometimes even small things that we do to each other that really blocks the real nature of Christ in our lives. And it's hard for us to let go and release our lives to that Christ who loves us so desperately. Isn't that true, Whit?
Yes, it is, John. And I like the words, let go and let God. That's how we must come to Christ. Jesus said, come to God as a little child. Children recognize that they are dependent upon others. Without help, they could not feed or clothe themselves or have shelter. Dear friend, come to God confessing that you're helpless without Him. You need forgiveness, grace to overcome weaknesses, and the strength and hope which only Christ can give. And that's why, dear friend, the best way to come to God is on your knees, in confession and self-surrender. Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." Come to him in childlike faith. He will receive you and bless you and, yes, change you. God bless you, dear friend.
Whit, before we close, I'm going to share one more thing with our listeners. It was about 4 a.m. the other morning when I woke up and I began to think about all that's going on around the world, and especially all of the confusion over vaccines and political preferences and of course, the people in Afghanistan. I thought of Brian Portwine. Brian was one of our youth. He served 3 tours in Afghanistan. He and other members of his team were driving in their Humvee when it ran over a landmine. Everyone except Brian was killed. When he came home, he tried to get counseling for his PTSD, but the pain was so severe and the wait was so long. One morning, he climbed into his bathtub, took a revolver, and ended his life. He was 24. What woke me up that morning was the image of Jesus weeping over Brian and all that's going on today. He was weeping like he was in Luke 19. It was a deep inner groaning from the heart. It was so deep that he barely made a sound. You know, the easy thing for us to do is to blame something or some political person, but I think the truth is the focus is really on you and me. You see, the only true story you and I know is not about our beliefs, but rather about what Christ is doing in our lives today and how we treat each other. Do you know that the world is just weeping to be loved? Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com. Let's pray together that others will experience Christ in each of us, that the world might be healed. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.